Hello and welcome. Scare Track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God! Ah! I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is something a little bit different and new here to Scare Track. This is a movie wars episode where myself and Dan from UK Haunters go head to head to pick movies that we think should become haunted houses. Now I'm going to let Dan explain it a little bit more in our discussion coming up in our feature section. But before we get to that, just a little bit of an update here at Scare Track on what's coming up soon. We have got episodes planned with Fear at Avon Valley and Farmageddon, amongst a few other people as well, in the summer on the run-up to Halloween to discuss what their Halloween plans are for 2021. So very excited to get those guys on the show. Of course, we spoke to loads of owners and creative directors, Jason Carr from Atmosphere Scare Entertainment, the team at Dr. Fright's Halloween Nights. We spoke to Joe. And going over the years, check out the archives, guys, because we've had some fantastic people join us here on Scare Track. We are really very, very lucky. But I've waffled on enough for now. Let's take it to the feature section. This is the first ever episode of Movie Wars.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi, folks, and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am joined once again by Dan Brownlee from UK Haunters. Dan, how's it going, buddy?
I am all good, sir. I'm all good.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I've been looking forward to this episode. You had a great idea a month or so ago. Do you want to let the listeners know exactly what your idea was so they're all up to speed?
Right, so the idea was, if my sleep-deprived, frazzled brain can remember it correctly, was we both have to get a film and do a haunt pitch for it.
Yeah.
Now, neither of us know which one the other's going to go for,
mm-hmm.
and the listeners vote for which one they think would make the best haunt.
There we go.
The rules are simple. It can't have been turned into a haunt already. And it can't be a haunt-based film.
Yeah. So it can't be things like Haunt or Hellfest or anything like
that. Or Hell House. I mean, Hellfest has actually been turned into a haunt, strange enough.
Ah, there we go. So you couldn't have that one.
Yeah, twice you couldn't have that. That's definitely against the rules.
Yes. Awesome. Okay, so, like Dan said, we're going to do a little bit of a pitch, and then once this episode is out for a few days, give everyone a chance to listen to it. We'll put it on our social media pages and take your votes. So if you don't follow us over on social media, where have you been? We are on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track, and we'll put them in the show notes below as well. So you can go and check them out and give a vote to what film you think should be made into a haunted house, into a scare attraction, based on mine and Dan's pitches. Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go first, Dan?
Oh, I can go first.
You go first. I'm excited to... But full disclosure, Dan doesn't know what my film is, and I don't know what Dan's film is. And also, there may be varying levels of how quality each pitch is. based on, I suppose, the type of film and the amount of time we've had to prep. So it's no excuse. We all planned this and we both knew what we're doing. But I guarantee Dan, the horror lover that he is, has probably been thinking about this for 20 years. So go ahead, Dan, take it away.
Right. Anyone who has seen this film and likes haunts, follows haunts, or appreciates them, they must have thought, when the fuck is someone turning this into a haunt? It is absolutely scene by scene. If someone changed the title to call this a haunt horror film, I would buy it instantly. That's how much, but it is not. Okay. It is 2012's The Collection.
The Collection.
Sequel of The Collector.
Okay.
Which is about a crazed serial killer who breaks into people's houses, mad psycho booby traps the entire house, but then keeps one survivor who then brings back to his lair. Now, that was a collector, The Collection. If The Collector was alien, Collections is alien. The Collection is aliens. So in The Collection, it starts out, I'll give you a bit of a pitch of the film. I would read the back of the box, but the back of the box is rubbish. It doesn't give it much at all.
Right.
The film starts with the collector setting a mass booby trap in a nightclub, which massacres nearly everyone in there. And the person he chooses to kidnap is the daughter of a very powerful senator who has a psychotic bodyguard who's been looking after this kid all her life. Right. So the kid gets kidnapped. The guy who survived the first one gets recruited to find this guy and say, look, you're the expert. When he got kidnapped, he just cut his arm for every left and right so he knows where the guy lives. And they basically force him to go in to this guy's lair to help rescue the girl. The guy's lair is a goddamn haunt. The first one was super, super Nine Inch Nails 90s music video.
Right.
This one has that same sort of industrial grime aesthetic, like one, and again, it's like a goddamn haunt. One part of the film, they go through these corridors and these big rooms, which are all caged, and basically the collector has been driving these people mad by messing them up with drugs, almost like Seven, but they've chewed their tongues off and they kind of act like guard dogs. Then you'll have another section where it's all grotty wallpaper and like really surreal artwork on the walls. Then you have another section where he's sewn people and body parts together and they're all in these formaldehyde tubes. So, you know what I mean? You're kind of getting where I'm coming from this.
If you
retitle this a haunt horror, if it was called like Collector Haunt Horror House, you'd be like, oh yeah, no, I get it.
Because
instead of haunt actors, there's him and the people that he's driven mad to be his guard dogs.
Yes.
It is literally, and once you watch it, because if no one's, before people cast the votes, they should watch both films we're on about.
Agreed. Watch these films, definitely.
Or maybe now we've said it, go watch the films and then re-listen to it. Because this film is, the way I've put my pitch for it is Halloween Horror Nights comes up to me and goes, right, Dan, we've got this property, pitch us the haunt.
You know what? Sorry to butt in as well, but as you've been discussing this, I've been watching the trailer on mute as well, and already I 100% agree with you. Why the hell this hasn't been made into a haunt already? And it's actually from the writers of Saw 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Yep.
So it's sort of. It makes sense, you know. Saw is a very good haunt. It has been made into a scare maze multiple times. And so you can see sort of the twisted direction that they're in. So, but yeah, sorry, I just had to, I just wanted no, to mention that is, bit.
There's very little back turn. Like they hardly ever go back to, I think at the end, the guy gets chucked down the chute where there's a dead bodies where the dogs, the people slash dogs are. But apart from that, they kind of go through it.
Right.
So it's almost like, so they go through one section and it's all, and then they go to another section. There's very little backtracking. So it's literally almost like you're going through a haunt.
It is,
because each new set piece doesn't really get revisited.
Right, right. Okay, so it's very linear, which works very well for this style of attraction, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Watch the film. It is perfect for a horn. I cannot imagine why Halloween Horror Nights, especially with all the links to Saw.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
Why they didn't make it? It's absolutely goddamn perfect.
See, I need to be 100% honest. I know I'm not. I don't know. My knowledge of the horror genre is nowhere near as big as yours. It's nowhere near as big as Hannah's, my wife's. But I hadn't heard of the collection before. Whether or not that's just because I've been under a rock. But I suppose it's a sequel, so the first one must have done pretty decent. Was it like a well-received sort of franchise?
I mean, it was direct to DVD when that still meant something.
Right, okay. Yeah, but yeah,
now
yeah.
Direct to DVDs or direct to streamings, Army of the Dead was direct to bloody Netflix. You know what I mean? It means nothing now. But yeah. So it was a direct, but then it was around the time where, do you ever seen Dead Silence?
Yes, love Dead Silence.
Yeah, oh my God. So everyone seemed to rag on it. I'm like, why?
Yeah, I loved it.
Amazing film.
Yeah, fantastic.
It was around that sort of time where you had really good, high-quality horror coming directly to DVD.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it was that time where 2012 was... I mean, print media was still around then, was it not?
Oh, I have no idea. I suppose 2012 is nearly 10 years ago. Yeah.
But I think it was weird. I think maybe between the print media and the internet media, and again, this is just guesswork because I'm no expert in this. I think maybe a lot of films in that area kind of got lost in the publicity because people weren't quite sure where to back it. Before, it'd be Fangoria or Horror Hound or that sort of stuff all the way. Mm. Now it's Instagram all the way. I think maybe around that time, these good quality films are just kind of not getting the advertising because no one quite knew where to look or where to promote. And they cut. But I mean, they're talking about doing a third one quite recently.
Oh wow! Okay.
So you know, it's got to be. And again, I mean, it's budget wise, it's whether
it looks really impressive in the trailer.
Whether
definitely,
the budget was great or not, it looks fantastic. So whether it cost a lot and it looks okay for what it is, or it's very cheap and they did amazing for what it is, but it is gory. Mm-hmm. There's no hokiness to it. It's balls to the wall, really quite gruesome and horrible. I mean, the collector himself is just narky. Yeah. People get hacked up left, right, and centre. They are not playing games with this film.
No. It looked, like I say, from just the 2-minute trailer that I've watched on mute, it looks pretty epic. And in fairness, it kind of looks... Again, I'm only watching it from on mute right now, but it kind of looks like what Spiral could have been. Is that a bad analogy?
It's way more... It not like fan like horror comic based because it's pretty fucking outlandish. Like from you kind of get from the news broadcast this serial killer's been kind of on a spree. Now it doesn't say how long the spree is, but you kind of get it's over a shortish period of time where it's got like a good 10 people who he's driven mad, mm-hmm. acts as his dogs. Then he's got some boats. So you kind of. It's kind of like a very gory comic villain.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Saw Spiral was trying to dial it back a bit and be kind of realistic, like, you know, someone died by having wax poured on their face. It got a bit outlandish at times. It was doing its best to dial it back, where this one was like, for argument's sake, the Joker had a death house. You know, it's very outlandish. It's very over the top. The death traps are bloody everywhere. I mean, the guy's taken over a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And death traps where you get cut in two or hung upside down and dragged away. I mean, they're everywhere. This is over the top ridiculous, but gory and nasty enough for you to take it all seriously.
Yeah, I see. See, I'm just looking at, I'm really intrigued about this film now, because just looking at what you've been telling me, and I really like this film. I think it's a great idea from you, Dan, to get films that we both think would make a good horn, and then watch them, because then you can watch them kind of feeling as if they are a horn, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's what I do with the Saw films and whatnot, and with the film that I'm gonna mention now. Like you mentioned, the sequel, they actually planned a sequel back in 2012. Development started in 2018, and then in 2019, all development stopped. But now, back in 2021, they're saying all props had been stolen in 2021. Because production never took place. It's definitely worth checking out. It is Wikipedia, so I don't know how much to take with a pinch of salt. But yeah, so they're looking at potential sequels. It looks like it's been sort of in and out of it. It actually lost money, unfortunately, at the box office. Obviously,
see, that's the fuckery, and this is the worst thing with films. They say it lost money at the box office. That's not where horror makes its money.
Exactly. They don't count the countless DVDs or the streams or the rents or things like that. So it, on paper, it looks bad, but then obviously, I mean, the budget was 10 million and box office was 9.9. So it's obviously made money after all the DVD releases and things like that. But yeah, okay, so sweet. So we go in with the collection, the 2012 American horror film sequel to The Collector, which was made in 2009.
I've even got a map out of the house, if you want to hear it.
Yeah, I want to hear it. I want to hear it. So how's this house going? Sell me this house.
I'm not sticking 100% to the film. Okay. I'm going off track ever so slightly.
Fair enough.
But
artistic direction.
I mean, largely it is, but I think the ending is where I go slightly off. But again, I always say I like the fact that Halloween Horror Nights and other haunts as well kind of give you a story, so you're walking into the story. So the premise is a serial killer known as Collector kidnaps a very dangerous man's adopted daughter. The only survivor of the killer, he has got you to help him through the maze to find his adopted daughter. So you are taking the pace of the person going through the maze to find a girl. So that's how you get immersed in it. So again, it helps as you watch the film, but the first room will be the facade, will be the club scene.
Okay, yeah.
Into the club scene, it will be the kills, which is basically massive spiral things come down and cutting people up. Nice. So you have some big foam spirals coming down, people all gored up, screaming, water spraying at your face to simulate all the blood. And then from that room, you've got to leave into a squeeze corridor, because the next bit in the film, people get crushed to death. You go into the second section, which is another bit in the film. So this is, I've literally gone very linear to the film.
Yeah.
Where you've got the collector torturing a guy in the next room. It's industrial blue corridors. He's got dogs there, actual dogs. So the scares, you've got barking dogs, you've got sound effects, you've got the gross out of the collector killing him, the collector actor can like jump in your face and try and scare you. And from that one, you go into the next section of the second section. So I put these in, there's two sections per section for this, which will be the room with the mad people. So you've got a big industrial room corridor, lots of chains, very dark, sort of glistening, all drippy, wet and disgusting, almost alien style. And the scares come, the scare actors will be playing the dog people. So they're people who kind of, that they have the very stereotypical how Hollywood likes to show quote-unquote insane people, which is all white, no zips, no buttons, very bloody, mashed up faces. And they'll be like scare actors.
Yeah, and they'll scare you.
To add to the gross factor, because in my pitch, this is a gore room. This is a gore house.
Yeah.
You know the way like Scarecrow, the Reapening was plain scary, but then you had the Nightingales, which is the gore house, or the Angels and Demons of the gore house. This is very much the gore house. So wherever there's dead bodies in the films or gore effects in the films, we're gonna put these in those. Then you go into the next room, which will be a metal room with the girl looking doll, who is the character in the film. So again, people who watched the film, we know that character. She can turn around and jump scare you.
Nice.
And then from that you go through the old battered corridors, which looks like a really creepy old mansion, and there's like weird paintings on the wall. nice. of like overweight people. I don't know why, isn't it? But that's on their set. So you'd really immerse him, you'd really bring the film into this.
Yeah.
And then you'd have the Collector popping out, because the Collector's quite freaky. He's quite a freaky looking mask.
Mm.
But again, nice and easy. You could have the characters dressed up like him. They could rotate easily. Of the extra gore effect, you could have a guy who dies via being impaled in this scene.
Okay, nice.
So you got the scares, you got the atmosphere, you got the gore gag. And you go on to the fourth section. This one is the patchwork people, I call it, where it's full of oddities. Where it's like, where he's cut people up and sewn them back together and then put bones and stuff back together. And you've actually got people nailed to the wall as well.
Oh, wow.
So they will be the scare acts in this room. Really gross, really scary, really upsetting. Lots of screaming, lots of jumpiness. You also got someone hanging from a hook as well, which Ooh. You could have voice screaming and then a prop of the person hanging from the hook. Then the fifth section, you have the mannequin doll room. Now, this is where the guy goes in because he hears screaming, and there's all the mannequins everywhere, and there's plastic sheets everywhere, like the butcher flaps.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes in there, and then everything blows up, and he has to run into the next room. So I'm thinking, for this room, if you were pulsing, this would work. Otherwise, it doesn't. So, you know, Halloween Horror Nights, maybe. But essentially, once you get halfway through, you start hearing explosions running up to you.
Okay.
And the lights will go off, which then forces you to run into the next room, where you've got all the formaldehyde tubes of where he's basically made artworks out of skeletons and bits of people. And let's go to the next room. Right, so the last room is the last room of the film. It's kind of like a bedroom. Now, this is where I'm deviating from the script, because in the film, you get out and you save the girl. So my thing is, the girl who played the doll tries to betray you and is screaming in your face. Sorry, cat, it's made with a cat jump. So that got your shock scare there. They're here. She'll set off a trap, which will get an Eye Maiden, which will kill her, which is a jump scare. Then, right, so she gets killed. You go out into the exit. You're out of his thing. The girl pops up, which will be a nice jump scare, but it can be a fake jump scare, because the girl you're there to save goes, "Oh, you saved me. And she'll go, "Oh, thank you, walking backwards as you're entering the final exit. You know, when you kind of exit where the haunt's kind of finished?
Yeah.
Just going back out. And then just before you reach the dirt or the outside world, the Klett comes and grabs her, and you actually failed, and he's got her.
Bloody hell. Nice.
But that is it.
That
I may have gone
cool.
a bit too much into detail. Maybe next time I'll just go on the premise and babble about it rather than go room by room. Because if you haven't seen the film, that's probably quite boring. You're like, what the fuck's this guy on about?
But it does make me want to see the film.
It does. The film, seriously, it's such a no-brainer. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Why has no one done it?
Definitely. With the sort of, like I said, I've looked at a few stills. I looked at the video where, like you say, the mask works really well because it's a screwed up, fucked up mask. The location works well. The traps work for the scenery. So that needs to happen. That sounds pretty damn good. I was looking at related articles, Jigsaw, the movie as well. Yeah, so it's got definitely got a few connections to the Saw franchise.
Because
so.
The first one. Actually, do you know what? I've got the first one. I'm not sure if it's the people who did Saw did the first one as well. From the writers of Saw 3. Oh, yeah, no, same guys.
There we go, yeah.
Because the first one, he goes, it's a burglar. So the first one is a burglar who breaks into a house to steal some shit, essentially. He knows there's a rich family there. They're meant to be going on holiday. He breaks in.
Right.
And he finds out very quickly that this whole house is just rigged with these ludicrous death traps, including one where it's like this glue on the floor, which is massively acidic. And when he treads on it, it literally starts eating away his shoe.
Wow.
And there's certain members of the family. He's got I think he's got the mum in a bath.
Oh,
and if she moves, acid gets poured in. But he lets a couple of people wander around. So there's death traps. So basically what we do is we'll go into the house, knock everyone out, set it all up. So it's very contained, the first one. The first one is more Saw. So that's what I said. If the first one was Alien, this one was Aliens. Where this one, they just went, right, okay.
Yeah, now we're going
to
go.
The first one was good enough to get a sequel. Yeah. Let's go nuts. The guy's basically taken over an abandoned hotel. He's got kidnapped people. He's driven so insane, he acts as guard dogs. He's making artwork out of people, artwork out of bones. He's got brainwashed this person that he's captured. I mean, they just went nuts.
Nice.
Such a good film.
Yeah, man, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to put that on my watch list for sure. Do you know what streaming service it's on at the moment in the UK?
For free, it's not.
So it's a rental buy on Prime.
I think it's only £2.50 on Prime. So you know, I mean, for less than a pint of beer, you can entertain yourself for 77 minutes. It's definitely worth it. It's a really good film.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's currently not. I think it was on Shudder at one point, but right. It's not. The Collector, I believe, is on Shudder.
Yeah.
The Collection, which is, to my opinion, the far better one.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to rent for £2.50.
Right. Okay. No, awesome. No, I'm going to do it. I'm more than happy to rent for £2.50. I'll go and check that out. And everyone listening as well, go and check it out and let you know. Let us know if you think Dan should beat me with my. I haven't gone so much room by room, but I've got ideas for each room, if that makes sense. Because when I mention the film, you'll know why I don't need to go into too much detail about each room.
Cool.
It's because every room is actually exactly the same with a different booby trap. Any idea what it might be?
Is it Happy Death Day?
It's not.
Good guess. Because that was actually a horn. I was about to say, yeah. You've been to your old friend in Scotland.
No.
I
guess. It's a long shot. I don't know how popular it is really, because it's technically an independent science fiction horror film. But it's on a fair few streaming services. I've seen it pop up from time to time. It's the 1997 Canadian independent science fiction horror film, Cube.
Ah!
Have you seen Cube?
Oh, please.
You've definitely seen Cube.
Yes, I've seen Cube.
So I've done... Now, there's multiple reasons why I was thinking about this. Because... and I mentioned it earlier, chatting to you about your film, The Collection. I struggle to deviate when it comes to haunts and horror and the you know, death and all that. I always have just the Saw theme tune in my back of my head. It will just never disappear. It's always there, or I'll think of the Saw Billy Puppet or John Kramer or something. I was like, well, those movies translated very well into haunts. Not exactly the scariest, but I really enjoy the visualization of those films, because I think it's cool to see people tied up and getting killed, which is a bit sadistic, but go with me. So Cube is, like I said, it's 1997. Basically it's people wake up in a room that is a cube. It's sort of whitish walls, or sort of whitey grey walls, and it's obvious they are in some sort of man-made structure. And they figure out how to open little hatches, whether the hatches go up, down, left, right. You can literally go any way within these cubes, and it will take you into another cube, and to another cube, and to another cube, so on and so forth. And the reason I did this as well is because I was thinking Halloween Horror Nights, they like to do things like Halloween and then Halloween 2, or multiple versions of Texas Chainsaw, or they've done they've done American Horror Story, they did seasons 1 and 2 once, then they did 3 and 4, things like that. So Cube, there's two other movies as well. So you got 1997's Cube, Cube 2, Hypercube in 2002, and then in 2004 you've got Cube Zero. Now they all are the general sort of same premise as such, but elaborate and get a little bit more high tech and a little bit more crazy, and obviously the stories progress a little bit. But Cube 1997, it's basically, so the idea is, my idea to for the actual haunt is that you would arrive into, the facade is simple, it's just a square, It's just literally a square. I don't even want any words on it, any sign. You can have the signage where the queue is, you know, half a mile down the road. But the actual, I just want them to go into a building that looks like a cube. It works. But what I want them to go in, and at the start, it be completely black, dark. You don't know where you are. You don't know what it is. A bit like you would be there. You've got a bag over your head. You don't actually have a bag over your head, but you would have. You know, you'd be asleep. It's like you're not knowing where you are. Then all of a sudden, boom, lights come on, first room, and you're in a cube. Now, the first room, I suppose it's a sort of escape game-ish, but as a maze. You don't have to figure anything out, but like the exit or the entrance to the next room won't be obvious straight away. So I want people to sort of panic in the room. So the first room, nothing will happen apart from a hatch will open. And again, depending on what the maze can be and the health and safety side of things, I quite like the idea of people not just going straight forwards. I want them to go straight forward, go left. I want them to maybe climb a ladder to get up another one, or maybe even go down a slide to go into another one. Again, elaborating on it a little bit, but just to play with the levels. So you've got all those different rooms, and each room has a trap in them. And I want it so there's some rooms that are empty that you would just see something happen. So, for example, I want the finale room, you would see just huge fireballs shooting. Again, they'd have to figure out how to do this safely, but I've been in some haunts with massive big sort of fire propellers. I want those in there. Another room, I want it so it's lasers, so they have to duck under the lasers. But then I want other rooms to sort of show what's happened to the characters within the movie. So there's some rooms where it's like you've got to duck under the laser or you've got to walk around the fire. But then I want a room where there's a sort of an animatronic that comes apart. It's sliced into little cubes, which is one of the deaths. He's basically goes through a metal grate, and that's how he dies. That's the first death.
A la Resident Evil.
Very similar to that, isn't it? Very, very similar. Which is a cool death scene as well, let's be honest.
Yeah.
That is really cool. So that sort of thing, you know, a very gory style. I'm thinking just as you walk through it in one corner of the room, you just see it's very... I don't know whether they could do it with either an animatronic or whether with maybe projection mapping could work quite cool. Of someone literally being sliced to death into little cubes. Another room, someone's face being melted by acid. Again, I think that could be pretty cool to visualize. Mm-hmm. Again, it is similar to a Saw maze, I guess. You're going into these rooms and seeing these people going, "Help me, I'm dying." Like the scare isn't as such them coming up to scare you. It's a different style of scare. It's more of a, "Oh my God, these people are struggling." I want to have a crawl space in between some cubes as well, and similar to what you said in the sort of you go through a claustrophobic tunnel, I want the crawl space to slowly get smaller. So I don't want it to move, but I want it to start off quite wide, but for it to get narrower to sort of suggest that the walls are closing in on you. So just to give it that sort of claustrophobic feel. And here's what I love about the film, because I, you know, reading up on obviously watching the film, reading up on it as well, there were actually two deaths by door handles. So Joan was impaled through the back with a door handle, and David was impaled in his stomach with a door handle. So these films could have had the most elaborate deaths. Like I say, there's one with laser beams, there's one with acid, there's one with fire. I'm sure there's lots of different... There's one with sort of cheese wires that would, like, if you got stuck it within these wires, they would literally slice you apart. But they chose in two of the scenes for them to be killed by door handles. Mad.
Well,
mad.
Kicked on your toes.
Exactly, exactly. You'd be scared about doors. But again, I think it could work well as one of those. Not a house that's going to scare you loads, as in lots of jumping out at you, but let's say it's a torture chamber kind of house. And again, you've got the longevity. If this was Halloween Horror Nights, you could do Cube for the first year, Cube Zero a second year.
I can't remember. Are they all... Because I can't remember. I remember watching them because I got curious. I don't think I watched number three. I think I maybe dropped off by then. But did the cubes change, or are they still the same white cubes throughout the other
films?
They're
different. Yeah, they're different. So
but I can't remember two for the life of me.
And you know what? I think I'll need to watch them again. I think I might. No, I won't. I won't put them forwards for my next two entries because that's just cheating. yeah, Hypercube. It was. I think the colors. I think they changed color of the rooms, and it was more. It felt more high tech. Whereas Cube Zero. I think was it space? I'm not too sure now. I can't remember. So yeah, Cube movie was very much there were sort of white rooms. I think they changed color sometimes. Like each room could change color a little bit, but it felt like it was a room kind of full of mirrors that you couldn't quite see in. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Then Cube. Let's have a look. Cube. Cube 2, which was Hypercube, it was they were far bigger by the looks of it, and it was very, very white and clinical, similar-ish to the first one, but you could tell it was more high tech, if that makes sense. And then Cube Zero, I'm sure it was Cube, let's have a look. Cube 3. No, now it's just asking me to buy a Rubik's Cube. Cube Zero movie. He was really... that was it, yes. I need to watch it again. It was far more gritty. Far more sort of dirty and grungy. And, yeah, again, I need to watch them all again, to be fair. I can't remember if it was a prequel or not. People are going to be shouting at me now going, Mikey, why did you not do your research on this? But I was just thinking of the first one. Thinking that would make a pretty cool haunt. And like I say, I think the fire effects, the laser effects, the crawl tunnel that got smaller. I think Cube could work pretty well as a haunt. I think it would work.
How many cubes are there? Just three or four?
Three. There's three. Cube, Cube, Hyper, Cube, and Cube Zero.
I think Cube Zero is the prequel.
I think it is. I think it's the third one out, but it's a prequel to the first two.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the one that, yeah, very gritty, very dirty, grungy, that sort of thing. Yeah, I think, because Hannah was a huge fan of the films, I think I watched them out of order, which is typical of me. But yeah, man, I think Cube. Anyone listening, they may be wondering, they may not have watched Cube. You know, like I say, it was actually, it wasn't a mainstream film at all. It was a,
independent. It got a fair amount of love.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's, I mean, it only cost them, it cost them $350,000, and the box office it made $9 million. So it did quite well. You know, for how cheap the movie was made. The movie was made for less than $1 million. And it doesn't look that cheap either. It looks pretty decent. So, yeah. It's saying here it's got quite a cult following for its surreal atmosphere. And obviously the cube-shaped rooms. And, yeah, that's it. Sequel in 2002 and a prequel in 2004. And both were negatively received, says Wikipedia.
You know, I can't remember liking the second one, which is why I think... I'm looking at the trailer now. Yeah, it's not... The first one isn't as clinical as I remember it. First one, they're actually quite textured, these rooms. And yeah, some of these traps are actually pretty badass.
They look cool, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, like that's why I thought it would work well.
The wire, and there's one with spikes, which is on the trailer as well. Yeah, in each room, one's... it's kind of like they're kind of almost in, again, 97, it's industrial, isn't it?
Yeah.
One's like red lit, one's green lit, so there's enough to make each room, you know, have a different look,
have
to
a different
it.
Identity. Yeah, yeah, definitely. There's an American remake that's currently on hold, but in development by Lionsgate. So I'd like to think that will go ahead, to be fair. I think with these sort of horror films, we can trust Lionsgate on that sort of thing.
Hang on, is this not an American film?
No, this is it's Canadian.
Oh, it's, come yeah, on.
I know. Next door. But yeah,
you know what I mean? I mean, the amount of American films that get shot in Canada in the... Is it Vancouver? Is that where they shoot? Well,
I think so.
I think it's Vancouver. I know a guy had a company called Viva Vancouver. So I think it's Vancouver. Yeah. But yeah, because they always said that the tax breaks are better over there. It's cheaper over there. And it's American looking enough.
Yeah.
For the rest of the world that people just buy, it's America.
Definitely. There is a Japanese remake slated for this year.
Oh, interesting.
Which is, that's interesting. Because the premise is pretty cool. You're all locked in a cube and you got to try and find your way out of the cube, but it could kill you unless you're smart about it. There's scenes of people, like, you know, throwing in shoes first to find out what happens in this room, so they got to figure it out. And it's basically... It's a different style, again, because I'm quite narrow-minded. It's a different style of Saw, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's sort of device, torture device base, trap device base, whichever way you're going to...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it would be... If I was going to have a section of horror film, I don't qualify that torch porn thing. I think it's all bollocks. Mm. But yeah, if you're going to have very gory trap-based horror, then yeah, I think that's...
I think it works.
Yeah. That's a fair analogy, yeah.
There we go. So so there you have it, everyone. We have The Collection, 2012, and Cube, 1997. Two very different films, but with, a similar premise of we've both gone down the trap route, I think, haven't we?
Well, in all fairness, The Collection, there's traps in it. It's not, the Collector was very trap-based. The Collection is very trap-based, but it's more wild than that.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a party. Like, you could, I wouldn't say it's a beer and pizza film because people think, oh, that's just something stupid you laugh at. But it's like, it's, you get behind, oh my god, oh, look at that. It's that sort of a very reactionary film. It's not subtle. It's very in your face. It's very very fast paced.
Yeah, sweet. It sounds awesome, man. I'm going to go and watch it. I'm going to go and check it out. Is it one where it would make sense for me to watch the first one first, even though you're saying it's the second one's far better?
You can. The first one's free on Shudder. I'm not sure if it's free on Amazon because I didn't check. But it's quite possibly... The first one's quite possibly free. So if you're going to watch the second one, you've got an hour and a half to kill. Watch it. But if you have to pay for it. All you need to know is that the Collector... Right, if you want to... Right, okay, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen any of them. Spoilers. But I've kind of spoiled it anyway. The robber basically frees the little girl at the end of the first one, and then escapes, and then the Collector comes back and gets him, sticks him in a box.
Right, okay.
So when a person pops out the box and the camera's like, it's him, the relevance is it's the guy who escaped, who got caught at the end of the last film, who's the guy who... And also the people go, look, if you do this for me, you get to walk free. The reason why you get to walk free is he's a burglar, and he got caught because he was burgling a house.
Yeah. Yeah.
So okay, if you know he's a burglar and he's a person who got caught from the last one, because what the Collector tends to do, when he does his next lot of kills, he brings the last person he collected
in
a box
with
him. So, that's all the information you need to know. Even without that, you could pretty much, it's written well enough that you could piece it together. All right, okay, he's the last survivor.
Yeah.
You know, but it's worth it. I mean, it's worth it. It's good. The first one is very industrial metal grunge. I mean, really, like, I remember watching it going, oh my god, the colors in this, it's a lot slower paced, but it's so music video shot and styled. like right. quite a very slow music video. But yeah, but it's interesting. I even remember thinking, man, I forgot it was like this.
Yeah,
I knew it was kind of like this, but they were really proving a point with this.
Sweet.
Yeah, if it's free, watch it. Actually, watch it anyway. If
yeah, I'll watch it.
It is worth a watch. You don't need to, but it is worth it. It's still it's a very good it. Film.
Awesome, awesome. Right, I'm going to watch those two. They are going on the watch list. And everyone listening at home as well, pop them on your watch list, especially The Collection and Cube as well. And let us know. You might have already watched them both. Let us know in the comments below, but also be sure to cast your vote. We'll be doing it on our Instagram stories where you can cast your vote. So check us out on Instagram as well. And, of course, all our other social media pages, Twitter, Facebook, and Snapchat. Dan, I think that does it for our first ever. I think we've got to call them movie wars. I think
although movie
that, wars. That's quite aggressive, isn't it? But yeah, I think it works. I think it works. And people can decide which one they reckon would make a better haunt.
Yeah, I've got my second one already.
Yeah, right. I need to do some research. Are we allowed to use spouses for help?
Yeah, why not?
Because Hannah's knowledge of horror films is far superior to mine. But that's because she was watching Hellraiser as a 6-year-old. So I was still watching Casper the Friendly Ghost. Very different upbringings, me and my wife. So awesome. Right. I think that brings us to the perfect end. A huge, huge thank you for joining us once again. And we've also recently recorded an episode about the haunted toy store from No Escape, No Escape in London. So go and check that out with Dan and Jess as well. And Dan, I'll chat to you very, very soon.
Cool. Catch you then.
Sweet. Cheers, buddy. Bye.
Unlocked Vision, proud sponsors of the Scaretrack podcast. UVE are a multi-award-winning themed attraction and design company, providing bespoke themed attractions, theming, events, and experiences. Contact UVE today by visiting unlockedvision.com. Now, let's return back to the show. And remember, let's get scared!
So there we go, folks. First of all, a huge thank you to Dan for coming back onto the Scaretrack podcast once again. It's great chatting all about haunted houses, scare attractions, escape rooms, but I'm also really enjoying discussing the horror movie side of this crazy world of scare entertainment that we all know and love. Really lucky to have him on Scaretrack. His knowledge about horror movies is just insane, so it's great to have him on. And do our movie reviews. I hope you're enjoying our spooky movie reviews. It was you folks over on Instagram that mentioned you'd like us to cover some more horror movie stuff. So rather than us basically review every single horror under the sun, we thought we'd focus on the haunt horror subgenre, films like Hellfest, Escape Room, Haunt, those sort of haunt horror subgenre movies that basically mix what we love, scare attractions, with the movies. So we are doing those. We've done a nice handful now, and if there's any movies you think we've missed that we need to do, please do let us know in the comments below or over on our social media pages. We are on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook. Just search for Scaretrack. And Instagram is where we are going to be having our vote. So who do you think should win? Is it myself with Cube or Dan with The Collection? Let us know. We'll put it on our Instagram page, so keep checking that out for the vote, and we'll let you know the winner in our next episode when we have a second installment of Movie Wars. So that brings us to the end of this episode. A huge thanks for listening, and let's get scared. Yeah.